This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Can Hillary Clinton's economic plan today break free of what some see as the shadow of Wall Street? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Today, Democrat for President Hillary Clinton is in Detroit to fill in more details of her plans for jobs and the economy. Republican for President Donald Trump unveiled his economic plans in that same city 3 days earlier. The Clinton campaign says her focus today will be on help for working families, but many will also be listening for what Clinton has to say about Wall Street, given accusations she's been in the pocket of big financial institutions. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
So how can Clinton prove she's tough on Wall Street without alienating her supporters there?
With great difficulty.
Ross Levine at the University of California, Berkeley. He says she can't vilify Wall Street because she might need to work with the industry later. But she also has to appeal to the anti-Wall Street folks. Kelly Dittmar teaches political science at Rutgers.
I think that she's still in the phase of reassuring some of the more progressive base in the Democratic Party, particularly the Bernie Sanders supporters, that she is going to be tough on Wall Street.
So she has to strike a careful balance. Now, you might have noticed the speeches in Detroit, the same city Donald Trump chose for his big economic speech. Berkeley's Ross Levine has some ideas why.
Detroit is a city that maybe has suffered more than other cities because of changes in technology and because of openness to trade.
Making it a great place for both candidates to promise an economic comeback. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Let me update the numbers here. The FT 100 index in London is down 0.3%, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 2 to 0.3% range. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 1.52%. A new report from a key banking regulator finds a larger number of consumers with poor credit are getting credit cards. But the Federal Reserve Bank of New York data also show the card delinquency rate is dropping. Perhaps people are budgeting better. Or is that mounting debt hasn't caught up with us yet? Sally Herships reports.
It's weird, right? Consumers with iffy credit are getting more credit cards, but the delinquency rate is dropping?
The short answer is this isn't so odd.
Ezra Becker is with TransUnion, the credit bureau. He says there are a few things that can affect delinquency rates.
One of them is internal to consumers and where they are with their finances, and the other is external to consumers.
Like the state of the economy and availability of jobs. Both okay right now. Plus, Becker says we may want to reassess borrowers we're calling iffy.
There's lousy and then there's lousy.
He says today's subprime consumers, that's someone with a credit score lower than, say, 600, is not the same borrower they were during the financial crisis. Chi-Chi Wu is with the National Consumer Law Center.
Something like 70 to 80% of people with a low credit score, they're going to be fine.
Wu says credit scores don't measure our ability to repay. That depends on our income and expenses. A big relief because our national credit card bill is $729 billion. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
As you sit there at that traffic light, how did I know you were idling there at the red light right now? Here's some data. AAA, the Automobile Association, says it costs roughly 57 cents to drive a car 1 mile. That number jumps when you're stuck in traffic, and it jumps when drivers are stuck waiting for a lot of red lights. City planners are trying to help by installing new traffic signal technology. Amy Kiley of Public Station WABE looks at why Atlanta is spending millions on this.
The whole infrastructure project is called Renew Atlanta. Its general manager, Faye DiMassimo, takes me on a drive through Atlanta's midtown to explain how the traffic signals would work.
Signal optimization simply means that we're making sure that the timing of the signals is moving traffic through the corridor in an efficient way.
That includes cars, but also bikes and pedestrians. Last year, Atlanta voters approved $250 million in bonds for Renew Atlanta, and the largest chunk of funds will help modernize these old traffic lights.
The signals really don't know what's going on right now.
That's Georgia DOT engineer Kathy Zahol, who's along for the ride. The last major system-wide traffic upgrade in Atlanta was for the 1996 Olympics. Zahol says since the technology is old, operators have to manually program the lights on site. That's okay for planned events like rush hour, but not unplanned ones like accidents.
They probably, based on what's the age of the signals, couldn't accept that input because of the age of the equipment.
Think of the signals like cell phones. If you want internet access and the latest apps, you need a smartphone. And if you want the latest traffic technology, you need new lights. The problem is the price of each light starts at about $100,000. To see what that buys, DeMassimo and Zahol walk to an intersection with one of Atlanta's many streets named Peachtree. Here, DeMassimo notices a car running a red light.
You're going to see people not making risky moves, risky turns, or speeding up to try to get through the intersection.
The new lights are supposed to help traffic move in packs, with fewer stragglers trying to speed through reds. They're built to coordinate with cameras and metal detectors to see cars, bikes, and pedestrians. They can communicate with each other to prevent backups, and operators should be able to program them remotely. The lights are in the design phase now, but should be ready in about a year. In Atlanta, I'm Amy Kiley for Marketplace.
And you know what's hurting profits at the fast food chain Wendy's? Those darn lower grocery prices, which the Agriculture Department says have been trending down this year so far. Wendy's profits came in lower than expected on Wednesday, with the company blaming a propensity for us to eat at home instead of eating out. Egg prices are down more than 26% in a year, beef down about 6%. Wendy's stock fell 2.75% yesterday and is down a bit again in pre-market trading right now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.